Our scripture this morning is found in Psalm 63, verse 1 through 8. Hear the word of God. O God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in your sanctuary and gazed upon your power and glory. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you. I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. You satisfy me more than the richest feast. I will praise you with songs of joy. I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night. Because you are my helper, I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your strong right hand holds me securely. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Shauna and choir and Jill. And I always forget to thank Phil and Sam for their work back in the back. We don't see them back there, but they are definitely back there working this morning and making sure those that are worshiping with us online are able to do so. And so I thank you also for your service this morning in worship. Will you pray with me and for me? Oh God, open your word to us this day. And remove any obstacles from our hearing and from our receiving. Amen. Have you ever been dehydrated? Really dehydrated? I've been on a few mission teams to the west, once to Gallup, New Mexico, and then twice I took a team to Heart Butte, Montana. Also went to Broken Bow, Oklahoma. In all three of those trips, we were concerned about those that were especially working on the work sites not drinking enough, dehydrating, especially in New Mexico where it was more arid. And that's because it's easy to sweat and not really recognize you're sweating because it evaporates so quickly. And when it evaporates and you don't realize you're sweating, you don't think about the fact that you are losing fluids. And before too long, if you're not careful, you can easily dehydrate. Here where it is humid, we know when we're sweating because we go out and it just is that horrible, muggy, icky, yucky feel. Kind of like it has been the past summer. Although we've been blessed with some cooler weather lately. But still, that mugginess and that stickiness is uncomfortable, and so we recognize when we're sweating, and we're more conscious of drinking water. Sometimes, though, as it begins to cool off, even then we have to be careful because we might not drink enough water because we don't feel hot, and so we don't drink as much. Probably most of us have never been severely dehydrated. But many of us have been moderately or mildly dehydrated. And there's a number of factors, not just the dryness of the air, that can contribute to that. Acute or chronic illness. So if you have a stomach bug, you know you may not want to drink or eat anything, and it's easy to dehydrate. Or if you have diabetes, you know that you have to drink more water often. Profuse sweating or overexertion. Those of you that have been involved in sports, you're very aware of that because it's easy for those involved in sports to dehydrate. Several football players we know have lost their life because they have overheated and not hydrated enough. We've mentioned the arid climate, but then also there's that seasonal change that we talked about. But then sometimes you just get too busy to drink. We get so busy doing what we're doing during the day that we forget to take a sip of water every now and then or to stop for a glass of tea, to do something to rehydrate our bodies. Our bodies need water because our bodies are made up of about 60% water. Do you feel like you're sloshing around sometimes? Well, that's why. Because we're made up of about 60% water. So when we lose water without replenishing it, the effects can become serious. That when we've had those mild cases of dehydration, you may have recognized it later. You may have felt that dry mouth. You might grow fatigued quicker and not realize why. You might be lightheaded, dizzy, develop muscle cramps. Your pulse might increase or your blood pressure rise. You get a dull headache, gnawing headache. Not a bad one, but just a gnawing one that won't go away. And interestingly, we crave food sometimes when we're really thirsty, and actually crave sweets when we're really thirsty. Eventually, we are told or we realize on our own that we need to drink water or even a sports drink to help get our electrolytes back in balance. Our bodies need to be rehydrated. And when we rehydrate, then those symptoms begin to subside. But dehydration is not just a physical problem. It's not just a physical condition. We can also suffer from spiritual dehydration. Spiritual dehydration. Our text today is one of several passages that attest to spiritual thirst. Another is based in Psalm 42, which our hymn was based on. Indeed, the psalmist, said to be David, speaks of longing for God with such an intensity that it is like being thirsty with no water to be found. Being so desperate for God that it's like being thirsty but not being able to quench that thirst. It's a thirst that is so strong that he feels it physically. That first thirst is felt physically in his body. Lindsay P. Armstrong describes the longing and feasting on the word writing. In Psalm 63, the psalmist is not simply interested in or respectful of God. Rather, the psalmist craves God. Craves God as a coffee drinker craves the first morning cup. Now, I can relate to that as a coffee drinker. She goes on to say, in fact, dire thirst symbolizes the need in verse 1. Her hunger represents the need in verse 5. The longing for God is so intense that it is experienced physically. Have you ever been that thirsty spiritually? So hungry and thirsty for God that you felt it in your bones? That you felt it on your shoulders as you walked around and there was this heavy weight on you? Have you felt it in this rumbling that's not necessarily in your tummy, but this rumbling that says there's something more that I want? Have you ever been that thirsty physically? Just like physical dehydration, any number of things can lead to our spiritual thirst, that deep spiritual emptiness. This is by no means an exhaustive list, but some of those things are emotional distress and anguish, such as grief or anger or feelings of betrayal. I couldn't help but think of Jesus' cry from the cross when he cried out, "I thirst," as recorded in John's gospel. That moment of Jesus' anguish, his feeling of betrayal, and not just betrayed by Judas and denied by Peter, but even that sense of betrayal and abandonment by God. Though all seven statements recorded, known as the seven last words of Jesus, were spread out between all four Gospels, making the exact order difficult to pinpoint, tradition has these words, "I thirst," being the fifth words, following the words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And that feeling of desperation, that feeling of pain, of anguish, of inner turmoil. Not only was Jesus thirsting physically as his body was indeed losing fluids, But he was also feeling it physically as he felt that abandonment by God. Remembered Judas' betrayal. Kept hearing Peter's words echoing in his mind. I thirst. I thirst. Couldn't it have been more than just that physical thirst that caused Jesus to cry out? Couldn't it have been more? Another reason that we sometimes dehydrate spiritually is complacency or not being fully committed. How much do we crave God? Have you ever asked yourself how much you really crave God, desire God? Again, Lindsay P. Armstrong in the same Feasting on the Word kind of calls us up short when she writes, America loves big. Whatever our income, we love our big sales, salaries, vacations, accomplishments, and portfolios. We live in or hope for homes that feature double-height entryways, chef's kitchens, oversized garages, master suites, and home theaters where on our big screens we cheer on the biggest losers of weight, that is, or watch the audaciously proportioned Super Bowl. The Mega Millions jackpot captures the imagination and pocketbook of many, while three-day weekends help others live large. Our appetites are robust. We love big. Yet in the midst of the celebration of size, our appetite for God can seem paltry. While we may energetically desire a new car, professional success, or home remodeling, do we yearn for God with similar zest? While we may steadily save for retirement or vacation, do we seek God with the same regularity, intensity, and focus? Do we hunger for God so deeply that our stomachs growl? Do we love God with the kind of spontaneous enthusiasm that we might bring to one of our other loves? Jazz, history, NASCAR, photography, or cooking with vine-ripe tomatoes and pungent basil from our fresh gardens. Our gusto for God can be remarkably small, particularly when contrasted with joy and delight in God that we discover in the Psalms. Ouch. Our gusto for God can be remarkably small. Our complacency or our lack of commitment, a full commitment to God, can lead us to that spiritual dehydration when we yearn for other things much more than we yearn for God in our lives. Sometimes it's busyness or burnout. How many of you have ever felt burned out? A number of you are raising your hands. It's a risk that we all take when we get involved in something and put our full selves into it. It is easy to burn out. It is easy for pastors to burn out. And I'm not saying I'm burned out, but I have been there. I have been there. I've been to that point that I've been so busy doing and being a part of ministry that I've forgotten to sit back and take time to refuel, to rehydrate at the well of God. Right after I moved to Chattanooga, I moved a year after Greg's death, and I was still in that grieving process, and it was hard because I moved to a place that there was nobody there who knew him. And so in some ways, it was like losing him all over again in just a year's time. It was far from Kingsport, and that's where my mom and most of my family was. And so I kind of in some ways felt isolated, even though I was in Chattanooga. It was a city. It's not an isolated place, but I felt that way. And I missed my mountains. People say, well, there's mountains in Chattanooga. You have Lookout, you have Signal, and that's it. Here you have mountains. You know, I love my drive home when I leave the church because I'm just driving towards those mountains And it's just beautiful. I told someone the other day, I need a chauffeur because all I want to do is look at the mountains when I'm driving. You know, they're so pretty. And so I missed my mountains. And I realized I missed Greenville. I had been in Greenville 7 years, had made some wonderful friends in Greenville outside of the church, and they had become family, especially during Greg's illness. And I realized I was going through a period of homesickness, of maybe some acute depression. So I just poured myself into to work at the church and kind of dove into that. Before too long, I started thinking about continuing education and looked for something to attend. And one of the things that was being offered in the conference that year was the second 5-day Academy for Spiritual Formation. The first one had been offered 20 years earlier at Buffalo Mountain when it was still our camp. I had attended that one, and so I decided to attend this 5-day Academy for Spiritual Formation. If you're not familiar with it, it is an experience offered through the Upper Room, the Board of Discipleship. They also have a 2-year program, which I also attended. But I decided to attend this 5-day academy for that my continuing education that year. And as I arrived and as we began going into worship every day, 3 times a day, and as we had our lectures and then had our time of reflection after the lectures and the conversation of our plenary session after that, all of a sudden I began to realize I was parched, just spiritually drained. I was dehydrated, severely spiritually dehydrated. And so I was like a sponge that week, just soaking everything in. And it became a time of healing for me, not complete healing, but a time in which God began to work with my grief and work with my homesickness. When I realized that I needed to put some parameters around my schedule and my work life and make sure there was time for me and time for enjoyment, but also time to spend with God and God alone, which I had a great place to do that. My little house that I lived in was on Lookout Mountain, on the side of Lookout Mountain, not all the way to the top, just about a mile past Ruby Falls, if you know where that is. I could see the incline as it crossed over the road when I took the dog for a walk and would cross right under it. So it was a wonderful place. I always felt like I was going to a retreat when I was going home. But I had this lovely rock, huge rock, right there in the yard. And so I thought about that rock while I was there on the academy. And I thought, what a great place that would be just to go sit and be with God. And so when I came home, that became my place to sit and be with God. And just allow myself to be in his presence. I've been there. I've been there to that point of knowing how thirsty I was for God and realizing I needed to replenish. It happens to all of us. It happens to all of us. But how do we know when we are spiritually dehydrated? How do we begin to recognize those signs? Again, this is not an exhaustive list, but these are some things that I experienced. We begin to doubt our value and our worth, especially our purpose and our usefulness to God. We begin to concentrate on our mistakes more than we do on those things that God is doing through us. And it's in those mistakes that we begin to think, I've failed God. I've let God down. I've let other people down. And so when that happens, we begin to question our purpose. We begin to question our value, our worth to God. We become frustrated with ourselves and irritable with others. We find ourselves easily agitated when someone is doing something that unnerves us, then we fly off the handle real quick. We get frustrated at ourselves and mad at ourselves. We make poor decisions and slip back into unhealthy behaviors. I've admitted it before, I'm an emotional eater. And so when I find myself spiritually hungry, I do what people do when they're also physically hungry. I turn to that one thing that I find comfort in, and that's food. We withdraw. We kind of hole up and isolate ourselves from other people. But the most obvious is we begin to struggle to feel God's presence. We begin to wonder and to question, is God even there? Where is God in all of this? In his reflective work, The Confessions, St. Augustine wrote, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." I realized that just as I needed to take in water or fluids, other fluids, to recover from physical dehydration, I also needed to take in the water of life in order to rehydrate spiritually or to rest in God, to find my rest in God. I needed to be intentional about seeking God out. As our psalmist writes, "My soul searches for you. I long for you. I thirst for you." How do we do that? How do we go about seeking God? How do we go about rehydrating ourselves spiritually? Calling upon God to fill us. Over the next 4 weeks, we're going to explore some of the ways that we can do just that. Some of the practices that will help us when we find ourselves becoming spiritually dehydrated. Some of those everyday practices or weekly practices that can become a part of our regular routine. But some of those things that are meant to intentionally put us in the presence of God. But one of the things that we must always remember, that God has never left us. God never leaves us. And so when we begin to sense that God is not present, then we need to ask ourselves where we have gone. We are the ones who have distanced ourselves from God, and we look back at those reasons that I mentioned earlier that can cause us to do that. But how do we take those steps back to that pool of water that refreshes us? We'll talk about meditation. We'll talk about prayer, and prayer is a regular practice that many of us have, but there's many ways to pray. We'll talk about hospitality. Hospitality is a way to experience the presence of God, and simplicity. Sometimes one of the best things we can do is say no. Say no. How thirsty are you this morning for God? Are you on the verge of spiritual dehydration? Are you needing to replenish your spirit, your soul? One of the ways we also do that is by coming to the table. And sometimes when we feel like we are spiritually thirsty, for some reason we tend to think, I don't need to go to the table. Not because we don't think we need it, because we think we're not ready for it. My heart's not right for it. But the beauty about the way we see God's table is that it is a means of God's grace. So that in whatever condition we come to this table, God's grace flows through these elements. And in some way, he does replenish our souls. And so today, our table is open to all. To all to come and to feast. to all to come and to drink and to share in this blessed meal that has been prepared.